Live from Music City, Nashville, Tennessee. Two guys fumbling their way through the music business so you don't have to. Here they are. It's Scott and it's Hino and the Music Row Show.
Hello, friends. Welcome to the Music Bro Show. My name is Scott.
And my name is Hino. Thanks so much for tuning in. We're all about you songwriters and performers and musicians out there who just want to kind of get a grip on how things work here in Music City.
That's right.
Yeah.
The answer is it doesn't. No.
It doesn't.
We don't have any answers. We're out slinging songs during the day just like you guys are. But we are able to bring brilliant, talented people into the studio. And
our guests are looking behind them right now.
allow you to pick their brains by going on Facebook and answering some questions, How long have we been doing this?
Questions. There's just questions all over the place. You can go to facebook.com/TheMusicRowShow. Also hit us up on Twitter @TheMusicRowShow and just chime in right there.
That's right. Hey, we're all about the duos tonight. First with country duo. With quite the country music pedigree. Wilson Fairchild is here in hour one.
Absolutely. Then hit songwriters and married couple and now recording artists Kelly and Ellis will be here in hour two to talk about their brand new album.
That's right. Spectacular.
Spectacular.
I know. Well, let's get right to it. You want to do the honors?
I'd love to. I'm okay. Very, very excited about these guys being here. First up is recording artist Wilson Fairchild. They're a country music duo made up of Will and Langdon Reed. As the sons of two country music Hall of Famers, Will and Don Reed of the Statler Brothers, they were kind of born into country music royalty, and they're carrying on that musical tradition now. In addition to their work as recording artists, as, you know, quote unquote, the Reed Boys, which they're known, you know, to those of us in the know, you know. That doesn't include
me. We are?
Me. Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't include me. But So I've heard. They're highly respected songwriters. They've got cuts on artists like the Statler Brothers, of course. I would be disappointed if you didn't. Mm-hmm. Ricky Skaggs, Daly and Vincent. We love those guys, as well as a whole lot of others. And they've got a brand new album out called Songs Our Dad Wrote, which is a tribute to the songs that their dads wrote as members of the Statler Brothers. And it's just a pleasure to say, Wilson Fairchild, welcome to the Music Row Show.
Yay! Yeah.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I was just actually looking for the bathroom, but is this where we're supposed to be?
No, this is it. Yeah. See
this
cup
is
in
it.
Front of you?
Okay,
there
all right,
you're
very good. All right, I can do it later. No big
we
deal.
Aim to
all
please,
right.
So please aim.
Well, terrific.
I'm glad I got to hear your intro.
Yeah, why?
I thought you guys were Harry Reid's boys from Nevada, but that's not the case.
Different guy altogether.
I thought it was a political thing.
Totally different
guy. Okay, so we're not talking politics.
No, tonight is totally different. This is a country music thing.
Country music thing.
Yes.
Well, in that case, rumor has it this is like your fourth CD you've put out. Is that a true statement?
That sounds about right. I would, if this is a deposition, I would say that's correct.
Is that true?
That is correct.
So why was it the right time for this project? Because your last three albums, you had the Christmas one and then the others, which were not necessarily Statler albums. So this was kind of a neat thing you're doing. And in the beginning, were you guys trying to separate from the legacy or have you always really embraced it?
Great question. And all that is true, by the way.
The short answer is yes.
Uh-oh.
Let's get your mic on.
There we go.
I told him to turn Langdon's mic off.
There we go.
Both of them.
Good. Well, I'm glad somebody's wearing headphones. So back to the history of Wilson Fairchild. Throughout our career, Langdon and I have written songs and we've traveled and we're like everybody else, you know, cutting demos and trying to make your own way in the music business. But we've always, we're great friends with our dads, love their music and grew up listening to it. But we didn't want to be accused of riding coattails, you know, and we're not a quartet. We've always been a duo. So we were really careful, you know, to try to establish ourselves. So fast forward to when we did this project. Yes, we really came to a point that all of our fans A lot of them, of course, were Statler Brother fans.
Sure.
But when they see us perform and they see us do our thing, they see our dads through us. And, you know, and they retired quite a few years ago and are not out there touring anymore. So we got the idea for doing this record because these are songs that we grew up listening to and learned how to play guitars from and, you know, learned how to write a song from. And a lot of these songs are so old, you know, we hope to expose these to generations of people that, may not know who the Statler Brothers are or were or definitely have never heard these songs. And we just wanted to bring them new life.
Some of them are so old they were written back during the Civil War.
Really?
Wow.
No,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah, well, well, post-Civil War, yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Post-Civil War.
Yeah, they are. They're post-Civil War. Yeah.
Perfect. Perfect. So I got to ask, I'm a little confused. You know, we got Will Reed, Langdon Reed,
yes, sir.
Wilson Fairchild. Where does that name come from?
That seems perfectly clear to me. I don't know why you're asking that.
Uh-huh. Right.
It's Langdon right up there with how Peggy became a nickname for Margaret. I never got that one either. So
that's always bothered me.
Yeah. Yeah. That is a good one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Or well, like how Bobby is a nickname for Clark.
What?
Yeah. Really? Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
Back to agreeing with you. Like, yeah. Back,
yeah. No, yeah. No, yeah. I'm just going to, I just agree with everything.
Yeah.
Except it's just letting you know, like, you just
such
get used
a great
to
host.
It.
Yeah.
Really? Thank you. I agree.
Yeah,
I agree.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So Wilson Fairchild. Yeah.
Wilson Fairchild. Well, we first started off, we went by another name we were talking about a little bit ago for a while.
And that was Grandmaster Flash? What was it?
See, that's exactly right.
That's exactly, exactly why we changed
Grandmaster Flash Infection.
Right.
Oh,
uh-huh.
There we go.
Yes.
Quick.
Y'all just took it to a whole new level.
Yeah.
That's right.
Now, what was the name? It was Grand Staff.
It was Grand Staff.
Yes.
Okay. Grand Staff, Arizona? No, that's Flagstaff.
Flagstaff.
That's Flagstaff.
Grand Flag?
We got that, too.
Grand
we got Flagstaff.
Did really?
We did.
So after all of that misery, you
the
just you changed your name.
And Grand Staffers and all that. So.
Okay. We cut some great music then, but very few people got to hear it. Yeah. You know, we still stand behind the music, but it was a just a different time. And
hey, that was a family name, too.
It was. That's why we
chose it.
It was.
We were moving on, and so a few years ago, we did. We changed our names. And so the first thing we went by was Peggy and Margaret.
Okay, good, good.
Okay,
right.
I like that.
But, exactly.
But then it was still confusing.
It was,
So, and when nobody could figure out why, which one's Peggy and why is Peggy, you know, Margaret.
And then for a while, we went by Gerald and Bob.
Nice. And then the Robert Clark Band.
The Robert Clark Band.
Right.
And then fast forward to the next one. Exactly.
Yeah. Right.
So here we are, and we are Wilson Fairchild, and that simply became, came from our middle names. His middle name is Wilson. My middle name is Fairchild.
That's right.
Wow.
Okay.
Why don't you just go by Fairchild?
That's what I said.
You know?
I don't get it. I agree. Don't you agree?
I'm sorry, Scott.
That's a great idea.
Did y'all,
that was a fantastic idea.
Did y'all think I just fell asleep
Let's
or what?
On this. Three.
Yeah.
Are we good?
Yeah.
Yes.
Everyone all in favor?
Yes,
here we go.
Change
I
approved. Opposed.
A third name change right here tonight.
All right. Well, I need to get something to eat. Okay, that'd
go
be fine.
The
We're out of time, guys. It's great having you here.
Yeah, this
Boy,
has been
it
great.
Just flew by.
Man.
Long trip back to Virginia.
Okay. So, let's talk about growing up. Growing up when your dads are part of, and like you said, there's a lot of a new generation that really don't know the Statler Brothers and know that they were the biggest thing out there for decades. They had a TV show. They were all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
What's it like growing up when your dads are part of one of the biggest bands? And how old were you guys when you actually realized it, that they were a big deal?
That's a great question. And part of what we have learned to embrace, you know, looking at our story, we tell people that we didn't come from bluegrass, you know, that's not our background, and we didn't come from mountain music, you know, like a lot of the origins of things in country music. We came from the Statler Brothers, and in Langdon and I's lifetime, they were very successful, had already had hit records by the time we started growing up, and so that was our life. You know, our dads, they were great about making home Virginia. And, you know, they were touring, you know, 150 days a year. But when they were home, they were baseball coaches and involved in and they were able to maintain a small town status, you know, when they were at home.
That's great.
Cool.
So
yeah.
It was great. And that was just our, you know, we thought everybody's dads had tour buses. You know, it just that's the life we grew up around.
Yeah.
But we got bit by the music bug early on. We tell people that our dads would take us out once a summer on a tour in August before we went back to school and go to three or four, you know, big county fairs in the Midwest, and they'd have thousands of people, and Langdon and I would literally stand on the side of the stage every night and watch them perform, laugh at the same jokes and love the high notes, and watch the encores, and you know, we
just really saw how
we were done then, you know.
They would have an audience in their
yeah,
hands, and they, and
right,
if you ever saw them in concert, you could definitely tell that they that their show was crafted in such a way that it was with the ups and downs, and they mm-hmm, they had comedy, and then they had gospel, and they would, you know, sing heartfelt songs and
nice,
and funny songs, just a full gamut of the entertainment, and we really learned that firsthand by watching those years, and said, hey, you know what? I want to do that too.
Yeah, I see.
Yeah.
So then how was it for you then? You know, every kid inevitably goes through that stage where their dads just are not cool. Mm-hmm. And so how was that for you, being that your dads were superstars, you know?
Our dads were always cool.
How cool is that?
They were.
And that's the truth. And, you know, Langdon and I, there's probably a certain part of us that's boring that we really didn't go through that rebellious stage. But mm-hmm, I think it was because our lifestyle was different, you know,
okay,
because not only did we love what they did and we're always into the music. And then when he and I were in high school, I remember, it, you know, distinctly that I was 16 because I could drive. He was 14 and couldn't drive. So I'd go pick him up on a Sunday afternoon, and then we'd go have band rehearsal. And, you know, we've been doing this a long time.
So you guys were from way back then.
Yes.
So when you said you guys decided you wanted to do it, you knew you wanted to do it
early
together,
back
and
then, yeah,
and
yes.
Wow, that's
yes,
very very cool.
So did your dads react like, "No, don't do that.
Not
don't do this."
You know, not at all. And that's part of their story also. They said, "You know, we wouldn't dare be in a business that we wouldn't approve of our kids being in." And
wow,
and they, you know, they handled it like a business, and they always knew, and they told us very early on that, you know, you got to have something to offer, you got to have talent, you got to be able to do it. And luckily we got their approval that they always saw in us that we had the ability to do
this.
They
were always very supportive of, you know, and please know that there was never any pressure you know, from their end, but it was something that they saw in us that we wanted to pursue this. They were very supportive. But they never opened any doors or gave us any breaks, mm-hmm, and we say that in a thankful way. You know, we started writing songs in, you know, early on in high school, and you know, you put three chords together and a few words that rhyme, you're like, man, I'm a songwriter, you know. And you,
mm-hmm,
you take it,
yeah,
to our dads, who were the primary songwriters for the Statlers, and
yeah,
you know, they have over 400 songs recorded, and you know, so just because you can you know, put those ingredients together and then say, well, now look at me, you know, what about this? When we'd sing those songs for our dads, they'd say, you know what? That's not too good. You need to go back.
Wow.
You need to sharpen the pencil. You need
good,
to spend some more time with that. And
mm-hmm,
so it was never, you know, you could just bring in some words that rhyme and
so were your knees knocking the first time you played them one?
You know what? Yes.
Yeah.
And actually separately as writers, as teenage writers, we both went through that. We got really lucky, and another big inspiration in our past, Langdon and I had already had a band, were out going trying to get dates. I'll never forget, we were driving to Ohio to a fair buyer convention, just the two of us,
mm-hmm,
to try to get some fair dates, you know? And we started...
We were big time then.
We were big time, absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we started, we had an idea for a song, and started writing down some ideas in the car, and by the time we got to the hotel room, we wrote this song. Well, then we looked at it the next day, and we were like, you know, it's pretty good. So we went back home, living room, our dad sat down, we sang it in front of them, and they loved it. And they said, man, y'all did a terrific job. Sing it again. We want to hear it again. They actually ended up recording that song, and it was called What We Love to Do. And it was kind of it was kind of their story, like a tour song, you
mm-hmm,
know, about,
yeah,
you know,
all
being on
the
road
business,
and all about the music business,
yeah,
and family and all that. But they recorded that song back in the early 1990s and actually did a video on the song.
Released
so,
it as a single, too, yeah.
Yeah, but we got lucky that was the first song we ever had written together.
Really?
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's tough to follow up. How did the second one go?
We're still working on it.
We've been struggling ever since.
We retired after that.
We keep sticking on the bridge.
Yeah.
Keep
sticking
on the bridge.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about songwriting. What... What do you guys, as co-writers, when you guys are writing together, what are the strengths and weaknesses, and what do you think you picked up from dads, and what did you pick up just from other folks around?
We've been influenced by so many people in so many fields. You know, again, growing up, we were both born in the 70s and grew up listening to 80s music. And although we go back to the 70s, we music, that entire decade.
That whole era, yeah.
It was just beautiful. Mm-hmm. That was some of the mm-hmm. most creative times in music, in all genres, actually, yeah. if you look.
Casey and the Sunshine Band.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, whether it was rock or disco or country, seriously. I mean, it was just...
What is wrong with you, Hino? He's trying to tell us a story. And you're
flat. He said 70s, and it just... You know, I love Casey and the Sunshine Band.
We can do
Band.
It.
There we go.
No. We are influenced by.
No, I'm embarrassed by him.
Of, it's know? Okay.
You're
it's
embarrassed okay. by him, hey, and I'm embarrassed
the group
by
is
him.
Fairchild now.
I forgot.
Did you forget already?
I didn't.
Ladies and gentlemen, Fairchild.
I'm sorry. I spoke. I'm so sorry.
He's going solo.
So
Fairchild.
Yeah.
You know what? This is probably a great opportunity to take a break.
You know, sure. Well, hold on. He was in mid thought. Let him.
Okay, finish the thought.
Out.
There we go.
Yeah, go ahead, Fairchild.
Yeah,
go ahead. Tell him something, Fairchild.
You have 3 seconds. Go.
Yeah, go ahead.
So anyway, it was fun.
Okay, good. All right, and we're gonna take a break. Yeah. This was brought to you by our good friends over. Who is this brought by?
Our good friends
the video makers.
Yes, Fred.
Yeah. Fred.
Yeah. Fred.
Yeah, Bohan. Fred. The video makers.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Quick, we're going to talk about him in a minute.
We just lost a sponsor.
We are here with Wilson Fairchild.
It's all right.
We'll
he
be
doesn't
back
listen.
In just a few minutes here on the Music Row Show. So please come back.
Cry when you're leaving, then laugh when you're gone. That left-handed woman is right when she's wrong.
Yeah. That welcome back to the Music Row Show.
Woman is killing my soul.
We're here with Wilson Fairchild, and that is a great Statler Brothers song called Left-Handed Woman.
Mm-hmm. Who's playing harmonica?
Buddy Green.
Buddy Green. Buddy. I should mention that that's off their brand new project called Songs Our Dads Wrote. As we've been talking about, their dads were in the Statler Brothers and were the primary mm-hmm. songwriters, and they just did an album of a bunch of their songs, kind of paying tribute to that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a funny cool. song. I love that song. It cracks me up every time I hear it.
Thank you.
And we want to say Main Street Productions.
Hey, let's talk about Main Street Productions for a sec, you know?
If you need a video,
you first.
Jinx.
You owe me a Coke.
No, you know, these guys probably do videos. Right?
We're doing one right now.
You're doing one right now. Are you
that's
filming
right.
this, Kyle?
Wow.
Oh, wait, we are. Mm-hmm. Excellent. Well thought out. Your production is going to be amazing.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
No, you need a video. And you know, it's amazing how important those still are, especially in Europe and other parts of
right.
the world, if you're trying to get your music out there. This guy's great. Fred,
no, he's really
good. He does feature films, and so he does all sorts of stuff. So when you're actually doing a video with him, you're using top-notch equipment. It's not your iPhone video.
Right. Top-notch equipment with a guy who actually knows how to use that top-notch equipment. So
yeah.
Give him a shout. His website is mainstreetproductions.org. We highly recommend him.
That's right.
But we're back here with the guys from Wilson Fairchild, and you know, so many great songs on this album. How, you know, they wrote so many great songs.
They
how
did
you narrow it down to 10? How did you pick?
Mm. Yeah, you're right. There were so many to pick from. And I think the end goal with this project was for us to have a scope and to really show their scope in their songwriting and in their storytelling. Because, you know, if you're a country music fan, a Statler Brother fan, you're going to recognize a lot of these songs on here as
right.
hits.
Right.
But there's also going to be some deep album cuts on here that we included as well.
Mm-hmm.
Songs that maybe you've never heard before.
Right.
And so... We just went with songs that we liked and that spoke to us. And it was a process of getting to it, but we just kind of started off with one. Then we'd say, oh, you know, that reminds me. I always love this one.
Mm-hmm.
And then what about this one? And then, So there was really no magical process through it all. Just right. what songs were speaking to us and what we remember, you know, liking and constantly going back to singing.
And the truth is, it really wasn't that difficult for us because musically, Langdon and I have really always been on the same page that these songs, because the way this evolved, we started listening to a lot of these Statler Brother albums on cassette when cassettes came along in the 80s. From songs that were either written and recorded when we were born or before. So we were exposed to it, you know, the second time around.
Right.
But these are just certain songs that when we connected the dots that, you know, man, do you know that song, you know, Second Thoughts? And language say, yeah. I was like, you know, our dads wrote that song. You know, it wasn't like we were getting it firsthand from them. We were discovering it ourselves.
Oh, wow. And, that's kind of cool.
But it's seeing our dads in a different light that, you know, as younger men and writing creative songs and writing whatever they wanted to write. See, rewind a little bit, and we've got so much to tell. But our dads, their introduction into the business, they worked for Johnny Cash for 8 years.
Right.
And that was when they went, you know, professional. But through all those years, you know, they hung around some really cool people before they ever made it. And like Kris Kristofferson and like Roger Miller, you know, they knew these people and they would hear these songs in hotel rooms when they were passing the guitar around. You know, even our dads did that. Some of their big hits, other people wouldn't record, and then they got the opportunity to record them.
Right.
And it made, you know, the rest is history after that. But we've just always been, you know, eat up with the music.
So here's a question. Because they were so prolific and did such amazing songs, I know they've retired. Do they still write?
Not much music. They did. They retired. Their farewell concert was in 2002.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And when they retired, they were serious about
it. They were done.
They were done. Mm-hmm. And they did. They played music for about 40 years.
Right.
And
but even just for fun around the house.
You know what? The only thing that they've collaborated on since then is our dads wrote a book together called The Statler Brothers Random Memories,
right?
Which was terrific. And yeah. Then Langdon's dad, Don, he writes a lot. He writes books.
Oh, yeah. He's been doing a lot of writing since. He's had about seven or eight books that he's written, of different genres, and some literary fiction and some things like that.
Very cool.
So he's definitely doing the writing and doing some speaking as well.
Yeah. Keeping those creative juices going. Yes. Yeah.
But I think once you're a writer, you're always a writer. You can't stop writing.
But don't get us wrong. Both of them to this day will come to us and say, hey, guys, I got an idea for a song the other night, and I'm not going to write it because I don't have anything to do with it. But here's the idea. If you can use it, use it.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well,
we get their crumbs.
I'll take it. Those are crumbs I wouldn't mind having right
That's
there.
That's right.
Talk about what you guys have called in the past a front row education. And you touched on it a little bit ago, Langdon, about constructing the ups and downs of a show.
Yes.
Just talk about that education you had with them.
Well, it's really going a little bit farther with what Will was saying earlier about us going out with them and seeing their live shows at an early age. And, you know, everything from riding the bus to, you know, knowing all the truck stops from across the country up to how to encore. And so that's the front row. It was more of a backstage education, but it was a front row education. And we saw, too, how they ran their business. They didn't just put on the shiny suits and go out and wear a pretty smile and sing on key. It didn't stop there with them with that. They were businessmen. They knew how to, you know, when they weren't on stage, they came back home and they were having meetings and they were, you know, discussing everything that, you know, artists usually hire people to make those decisions for them.
Right.
They were hands-on with every business decision they ever made. Mm-hmm. And we saw how they worked well together. And, you know, there was always four of them. So, you know, there were four votes to go around the table and discussions, and they ran their business just like you're supposed to run a business.
Mm-hmm. And that's important, I think, because so many artists don't even think about that.
A lot of people didn't realize that in them until later on when they say, wow, you know, not only were they successful with awards or with the accolades, but also, you know, their business side of it, that they really did see the music business.
Yeah.
And let me say this about them also, which is things that we know that the fans most usually don't hear, but they had some great friends in Nashville, and one of them was Jerry Kennedy, who was their producer for 31 years or whatever, with Mercury Records.
Right.
And it just worked. When they met up with Jerry, they knew him, but when they met up with him in 1970, he was head of Mercury Records, and they went over and said, hey, you know, we're looking for a new record deal, and he's like, you know what, you know, I'll take a chance on you. You know, I'd love to do something, but I don't have time to look for material for you. And they said, no problem. We got the material covered. And again, the rest was history. That was a lifetime relationship they had with him. And they just had, you know, knew some great people and were able to take care of their business and do every aspect of their business. And I guess in a lot of ways, it's so funny, Langdon and I laugh. Our experience is unlike anybody else's, especially second generation artists. You know,
right.
Theirs works. It was exclusive with the way they did things, and so yeah, we've got it. We got it all a long time ago.
That's fantastic.
That speaks a lot to just the loyalty of staying with a producer for your entire career, because that pretty much never happens. You know,
you're right.
You know, artists go through a phase where they want to try something new, or, you know,
and they
reinvent themselves.
Jerry Kennedy, the fifth Statler, because he really was. He was an integral part in everything they did musically, and their producer, and they didn't make a musical decision without him.
Wow.
God bless him. He's awesome. We love him.
Well, I want to make a musical.
By the way, can I say something right there? Jerry Kennedy is not only a legendary producer, but he's in the Musicians Hall of Fame. He was playing the Dobro guitar on... You know, Stand By Your Man, he was doing on
Harper Valley PTA.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Nice.
That's all Jerry Kennedy.
He's playing guitar on, you know, Elvis Records and Dylan Records and Roy Orbison's Pretty Woman. I mean, that's him. And so his son, Gordon Kennedy.
Oh,
we know Gordon.
You know Gordon? Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Don't tell anybody you know Gordon.
Yeah.
Gordon is our musical brother.
He's our brother also.
He is. You know, the night isn't long enough to start listing off everything Gordon's done in the
world.
Songwriting to musicianship and everything. Mm-hmm. Great guy, great entertainer, great songwriter, and also a great producer. Because Gordon Kennedy's the one who produced the CD, Songs Our Dads Wrote.
Wow.
So we went into the
studio. I did not put all that together.
Yes. And Gordon is Jerry's son.
Yeah.
We are the Statler, sons of the Statlers. So we have a musical family going on.
Did you
on
get
there.
The sons of all the original studio musicians to come and perform on this too?
No, we kept that in-house. Yeah.
We finished up a few of those, and we looked at Gordon and said, man, you know, it would be so great if we could get JK to come in and put some Dobro guitar on here. And he's another one of those guys, too. When he retired, he retired.
Right.
And he played, the signature Dobro guitar on all those records back then. And that guitar is now living in the Musicians Hall of Fame. Well, Gordon called his dad and said, Dad, I know you don't play much anymore, but these guys really want you to come put some licks on some of this project. You're going to love this project. And he said, you know what? I don't do it for anybody else, but I'll come do it for them.
Nice. How cool is that?
How cool is that?
So wow. He did. He played on two of these records, and Gordon went to the Hall of Fame and got his Dobro out of the Hall of Fame so he could play on this record.
Wow. All right.
So
okay.
When you hear the Dobro on there.
Was it just missing one day, or did you tell him you were coming to get it?
We don't know.
Hey, we weren't there. We're out of it. Yeah.
And I don't know how you
They're in
that.
Virginia.
It's a Kennedy thing. Yeah, I don't know.
I know how you check a book out of the library.
Yeah.
How do you check
I don't know.
An instrument out of the
You got to know people. Yeah.
I guess so.
So that's, you know,
that's again, some real
it's
full
completing
circle.
The circle there.
I like that.
That's one of the things, and we've talked about this so many times. You know, when we get things downloaded and stuff, it's you can listen to it, but I miss having the albums or
being able to read
the stuff where you can
and
read and put two and two together. You know,
yes.
That is very very cool. Thanks for sharing that. We'd love a song.
You want us to do something?
One? Yeah, play that one song.
All right, play that one.
Play the good one. There you go.
This is one of them here called How Are Things in Clay, Kentucky. How are things in Clay, Kentucky? I bet you thought I'd never care. There was a time when I felt lucky just to be away from there, and I'd had all
of that I wanted. Now what I want, I just can't find. And how things are in Clay, Kentucky, has been lately on my mind. All alone in New York City, searching for that pot of gold. But I'm at the end of all my rainbows, and all at once I'm feeling old and kinda tired of how I'm living, of what I am and what I'm not. And the only goal in New York City is in a Salvation Army pot. I'm getting blue for the bluegrass, and how the old folks are at home. Just let me do the talking, 'cause I know you're not alone. I hear kids back there playing. I hope he don't know it's me. Jesus knows that I still love you. I just had to call and see how things are in Clay, Kentucky. I bet you thought I'd never care. There was a time when I felt lucky just to be from there, and I had all of that I wanted. Now what I want, I just can't find. And how things are in Clay, Kentucky, has been lately on. How things are in Clay, Kentucky, has been lately on my mind.
Take it home.
Right.
Thank you.
I'm wondering if that song holds a record for key changes or not.
It should. Yeah. That's the way it was writ.
I love that one.
Hey, before we take a break, we want to let you know that, come on in. Listener Julie said they were awesome on the Midnight Jamboree last night.
Oh, thank you.
I'm assuming she's meaning you guys because we weren't there.
yeah.
We'll take it that way.
And then listener Tammy says that she's going to be listening and says, Will and Langdon rock.
Aww.
I love that? It.
Tammy, they country.
You, Julie, you're awesome.
Yes, Tammy, thank you.
Mm. Right.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay, let's take a break. We're going to be back with more of Wilson Fairchild here on the Music Row Show. Stick around.
Yeah.
Someday when it's all over, and they come to carry me, and you're walking slow and wearing black with the rest of the family, and the choir stands to sing a song, make sure it's one of mine. I had a few more tunes I wanted to write, but I ran out of time. Some I wrote for money, some I wrote for fun, some I wrote and threw away and never sang to anyone.
Yeah, welcome back to the Music Row Show. That's a great song. That's called Some I Wrote. That's off of the brand new album by Wilson Fairchild called Songs Our Dads Wrote. And this is a collection of, well, songs their dads wrote when they were part of the Stettler Brothers. Mm-hmm. And that's a great song. I love that.
Thank you.
I love the production of this CD. It's very relaxed.
Yeah.
Very natural sounding. Was that the mindset going in? And how does that differ from maybe some of your past projects?
It was the mindset going in, and it is very different from our past projects.
Okay.
It is done in a very acoustic, rootsy, Americana way.
Mm-hmm.
We like to call it our front porch approach to this. And the guitar work is the two of us. We went in the studio. And
that was our foundation.
Yes.
Yeah.
And okay. So we play the guitars and sang all the songs, of course. And then we do have some harmonica and some percussion and a few other guitar licks here and there. As we said a little bit ago, Jerry Kennedy came in and graced us with
his
licks.
That's so cool.
But it is, we wanted, our idea here was to offer to the listener maybe how these songs sounded the minute after they were written.
Yeah.
Kind of in the raw.
Mm-hmm.
And it really, you get all the production out of the way, and you just give the listener the lyrics and the music in its rawest form, and that really showcases the lyrics and these guys as songwriters.
And let me say this too, we've said it before, and this project is the most genuine thing that Langdon and I have ever recorded. And over our long, many years of trying to break into the music business, we've done that. We've had demos that a producer took in a different direction, and then they ended up sounding like everybody else's music. We recorded stuff that sounds like boy band, if you go back and listen to it, because we went through that phase of trying to get somebody to listen to one of our records. Then fast forward, you know, we have a full band. We go out and do full production shows, and we love it. You know, we love, you know, full instrumentation. And we've done some things that sound bluegrass. But it was so funny when we did this project. It was important to us. We said we're starting with us playing guitars because that's the foundation. And then when we got to do we add bass, we fought about it for 2 days. We said, you know, yeah, a guy could have been on the front porch playing, you know, upright bass.
Sure.
But if we do, then we're going to want to put a banjo, and then we're going to put a fiddle on it.
Next thing
and
you know,
it'll be bluegrass.
Right.
Yeah. And that's great. But that's not what we wanted for the project. So we really had to fight it off, you know, to keep it to sound like this.
And again, God bless Gordon Kennedy, our producer, because he was the one who steered us in that direction. Anytime we'd start and we'd say fight, but we'd have those discussions.
Sure.
Like, you know, what do we? And Gordon said, you know what, guys, let's, you know, again, you two are on the front porch playing the guitar, singing these songs.
Mm-hmm.
Who would drop by and play with you? And you would. You'd have somebody drop by with a harmonica.
If you knew Buddy Green, you know, he'd drop by.
Yeah,
exactly.
But bass players don't usually drop by.
Bass players don't.
Carrying that big old huge.
Yeah.
So we said, okay, we can't have the bass.
Yeah.
You know, but there is a guy beating on a box.
Sure.
And so that's, when you think of it that way, and Gordon really put things in perspective to say, you're on the front porch playing, who's going to drop by?
Because we wanted it to sound like 70s Elvis. I mean, that's what we wanted it to sound
who
like.
Who doesn't?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Who doesn't?
But we just decided not to.
You know what? But I hear it in there anyway.
You do. You hear the orchestra?
It's suggested.
Right.
It's implied.
It's implied.
It's implied.
And we were wearing polyester high-collar jumpsuits when we were.
Yeah, you know,
doesn't.
Video.
And that's exactly
right.
How I pictured you.
Thank you very much. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm actually picturing you that way right now.
Wow.
That's amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
And now we're going to take a break. One last break. We're going to get another song out of Wilson Fairchild when we come back. You're listening to the Music Row Show. Stick around.
If she's guilty, so am I. If she's forgotten how to cry, if she gets lonely, don't know why. If she's guilty, so am I.
If she's changed.
All right, welcome back to the Music Row Show. That's a tune called Guilty off of Wilson Fairchild's new album called Songs Our Dads Wrote.
And you heard something familiar there.
That tenor sounded very familiar.
Well, Jimmy is a old friend of our shows. He's a dear guy. We're really excited, and I was so happy when I heard that. It's like, man, that sounds
Well, he's actually a jerk if you get to know him.
Oh, he,
but,
yeah, really.
But he sings.
On the air, we say that
he sings really good. Oh, we're on the air?
Yeah.
Oh, he is such a buddy.
Jimmy
is a buddy.
Him and Steve Warner are both just jerks.
Yeah.
Steve Warner
jerks.
Is a jerk.
Just
I agree.
Big jerk.
I don't know how Nina puts up with him.
All
actually.
The time.
Yeah. What, I promise you, there was two nights ago, Will and I were at a songwriters event. We're sitting there in the audience, and I promise you, I texted Steve Warner. And
yeah.
I said, I was just sitting here thinking, what an untalented jerk you are.
That is the truth.
And what does he do? He writes back, ha ha, you're so funny. I mean, he doesn't even get offended.
Yeah.
No.
I don't know why.
Just, we love him.
Yeah.
We
you put him, Jimmy, and, mm-hmm. and yeah. Steve, or Steve Gill, Vince Gill, all together. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Jerk club right
exactly.
there.
Exactly.
Yeah. Right, uh-huh. right. Well, tell us about bringing Jimmy into this song.
Well, we couldn't help ourselves. He obviously was on the original Guilty back in the 80s. And we called Jimmy and said, man, we're cutting this record our dads wrote, and but would you please come in and sing on Guilty? And he said, absolutely, buddy, what time you want me to be there?
Yep.
And that's all it took. And wow. he came over after we had cut it and put the top part on and just destroyed it. I mean, he's just the greatest.
Yeah.
We love him.
So there's cool. nothing that mm-hmm. he can't sing, and he has no top to his range. He is incredible.
And see, our history with Jimmy, meeting him back in the early 80s when we were kids.
Right.
So Jimmy is not only a, not really a father figure, more of an older brother
like
figure.
Uncle Jimmy or something?
Uncle Jimmy.
He was like
that's
the
right.
cool uncle because he was so much younger than the rest of them.
But
right?
we'll never forget on the bus, he was, he's a heck of a guitar player also.
Oh, yeah.
And on the bus, when we were kids, he was trying to teach us guitar licks.
We would sit there and watch him play. He's got a beautiful touch on the guitar and acoustic.
Mm-hmm.
And we would just sit there and watch, like, what are you playing? He's like, oh, this is an old Eagles song or, mm-hmm. Something. And we would. And so when we go get the guitars out, and he'd take the time with us and show us how to mm-hmm. play certain songs.
That is awesome.
Yeah. So it's pretty cool to have him as your uncle and mentor as well.
That's
that
right.
is awesome. Very well, cool. before we run out of time, we'd love to hear another song from you guys. You guys feel like playing anything?
Oh, we can do something.
Yeah. All right.
This song on the project is called A Letter from Shirley Miller. And this song in particular probably got this whole project started. A song that our dads wrote back and recorded back in the mid-1970s. And just a great story song, So we hope you like it.
All right.
Got a letter today from Shirley Miller. She's living in Ohio at a Presbyterian home. She's married a preacher and raising a family. She said she wrote the letter 'cause she was scared to phone. She said she still remembers things she said she wouldn't. She asked about my travels and if Cleveland's on my route. Shirley says she's chilly in that cold Ohio weather, but I think she's warmer than the hell her husband talks about. She said she was happy and hoped that I was too, but I could read between the lines, knowing Shirley like I do. She can't hide the way she feels behind the perfume note. I could tell her hand was shaking in the letter Shirley wrote. Shirley said she didn't expect for me to answer. Said she only wanted to get a few things off her chest. I tore up the letter and said a prayer for the preacher. I'll let him and the good Lord take care of the rest. She said she was happy and hoped that I was too. But I could read between the lines, knowing surely like I do. It's probably just a passing thing. I think she'll be all right. And I'm glad that Shirley never wrote what she sat down to write.
Beautiful, beautiful song.
Love that.
You guys, fantastic. Thanks for being here. How do we find you on the websites?
Oh, you can find us at wilsonfairchild.com. And
where can
we
buy the album?
All the time. You can buy the album anywhere you can buy music.
All right.
Digitally, you can buy it on Amazon, iTunes, everywhere, or you can order the CD from us, and absolutely.
Awesome.
Just go around hollering, Wilson Fairchild, Lurker, and I'm back.
Right.
All right, well, thanks so much for joining us. We got another great hour of the show coming up. Got a treat for you.
And we have Kelly and Ellis.
Yeah, it's going to be great. So come on back in just a few minutes on the
Music
Roadshow.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.